Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you know that this Thursday, October 31st, is, yes, Halloween, but it is also the deadline to request an absentee ballot to vote in the state of Wisconsin? Make sure that you have a plan to vote. Get more information about that, how to fill out your absentee ballot application, all those things at myvote.wi.gov. And never forget, here in Wisconsin, we're one of the 22 or 23 states that has same-day registration. So if you don't have a chance to get all of this done or to request your absentee ballot before Thursday, not to worry. Bring your government-issued ID, bring your proof of current residence, and show up at the polls on November 5th. Allot some extra time. And don't forget, your employers are required by the state of Wisconsin to provide at least 3 hours, a total of 3 hours to vote on Election Day. You might have to remind your boss of this fact. That's okay, because this election is worth all the marbles. Here to talk about it with me and each and every one of you is Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor of this great state of Wisconsin, former Senate candidate, my friend and yours. Welcome back to the show, Mandela. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really excited to be back here.
No,
how are you?
Well, 7 days, my friend.
I'm
exhausted, but excited.
Well, 7 days, maybe.
Yeah, 7 days. Plus whatever happens next. How are you doing? I mean, I'm exhausted, nauseous, nervous, excited. I think she's going to win. I hope she really, really drops a hammer. We're in final arguments right now. How are you feeling?
I mean, I feel, as someone else said, nauseously optimistic.
Yeah.
I do truly believe we can pull this off. I truly believe we can win. It is going to be an uphill climb, as we always knew, right? Like, you know, I think that during August and September, I think a lot of us got a little too excited and it felt like it was almost a guarantee, but it should never feel like a guarantee. If it feels like a guarantee, that means you're probably going to lose. So I think that a lot of us has come back to reality, just given shifting polling numbers, given shifting sentiment, given that a lot of the heightened level of excitement has sort of come down a bit. And that's just natural, right? And I think that Kamala Harris as a candidate is knocking it out of the park. I think Tim Walz as a running mate has provided just an incalculable amount of addition to the ticket. I mean, what he's brought, his energy, the way that he communicates compared to the way that she communicates,
is, yes,
two totally different perspectives. And I think that it encompasses a much broader swath of America. And I think back to 2018, you know, Governor Evers and I, we spoke very differently. We had two very different experiences, and I think it spoke to the larger population of the state.
I've had a couple of like, this seems that there's some odd familiarity to the Harris-Walz ticket, to the Evers-Mandela Barnes ticket back in the day. For very much had those moments. One of the things that I enjoy about Governor Walz is the guy keeps it 100%. Like, it's always, he just speaks in his own voice. He can call Elon Musk a dip guano, with, you know, and it fits, because, yes, that's how the guy behaves. I think this is going to, if she wins, this pick of a VP is going to go down as some pretty brilliant politics. Because, again, I think it diversifies her voice. He's got his own stylings. It's fun to watch them together as well. They genuinely like each other. I want to ask you, so much attention being paid, appropriately so, but I think a lot of hand-wringing as well, to Black men and the vote of Black men in this election. A lot of consternation coming from Dems about not just Black men, but Latino men as well. And maybe is Trump able to peel off some support? I remain shocked by it, because we watch some of the most virulent racist nonsense we've seen since the 30s in Madison Square Garden. And I struggle to understand why a person of color would feel persuaded by a candidate that so openly embraces racist rhetoric virtually daily. Well, as a black man, Mandela, like, if you want to speak to other black men that may be listening, if you want to address this issue, I don't want to ask you a particular question that boxes you in, but speak on it, my friend, because I'm struggling with this.
Yeah, I'll say that a lot of weight has been put on people of color in general in this country to save this nation, a nation that has, you know, has not always delivered for us. And all of a sudden, you know, the expectation that democracy is in our hands to many voters feel sort of disingenuous. But to that point, I will say that a person, a black person especially, who's had a similar experience in the world, in America, I don't see how there's any reason to vote for a Donald Trump who stands against every aspect of our quality of life, has never included us in the process. He can say all he wants to do for black people, black men, but the facts do not match the rhetoric. As an executive, and I put that in air quotes, the Trump organization, how many black ranking people are in the Trump organization in executive level positions?
Zero.
In the Trump White House, how many people besides Omarosa? And she has a story to tell about her time in the Trump administration. So don't get caught up in what he is saying to effectively try to get you to cast a ballot that is counter to your interests. Look at what he's done in times of leadership. But I will immediately pivot to the fact that there are white men, working class men, and young men who are also voting counter to their own interests. Many people who are voting with some sort of spite. But think about how many people in high or in organizations, that in companies and businesses that we spend our money with every day, are run by people who are voting for Donald Trump. Think about the decision that they are making. Whether it's them hedging their bets, thinking that they will be spared the wrath of a Donald Trump presidency, but doing that, even though the people who spend their hard-earned dollars with them will be impacted by a Donald Trump presidency, the people who are, in banking, and you can look at numbers of folks who have been and will be denied, banking opportunities, whether it's a mortgage, whether it's any other sort of loan, or opportunities to gain some financial footing. I think about people in high-rise law offices that may say, Donald Trump, that guy, he may be racist, but I still think that's my guy. And these are people who are respected in communities, who are voting and supporting one of the most abhorrent people to ever seek the office of president, certainly the most in my lifetime.
Oh, no doubt. And I want to just reemphasize and thank you for saying this in response to my question, Mandela. I've said it on the airwaves. I've talked with my colleague Earl Ingram about this. I hated the fact that in 16, that outcome was put on black folk. It wasn't. It took millions of Americans to say, well, he might be a racist, but that's okay, for that outcome in 2016 to be what it is. Black folks have saved America again and again and again. And lest we forget, there's a whole lot of white people that have incredible responsibility in this moment as well, to make it beyond policy, to understand that someone that is this blatantly power hungry, that puts his own interests above absolutely everything else, including the Constitution, including the country, and including each and every single person in the middle class. If you get a paycheck, Donald Trump does not care about you unless you can cut a $1 billion check and command the Twitter universe and the tech bros to help marshal supporters, he does not care about you. I wanted to give you a little snippets, just to get your reaction to some of the things that were said this weekend, Mandela. Take a couple of these cuts, if you wouldn't mind, Cardi. Let's start with 22, if you don't mind.
From Jerusalem, they really do this. Like, all of you, listen to me, all of you. I get back and they go, Sid, you want to speak at this MSG thing? I go, sure. Out of character for me to speak at a Nazi rally. I was just in Israel, but I took the gig.
I mean, sick. Cut 8. This is a guy by the name of Grant Cardone.
Not even her simp, Mark Cuban, can sell this. Even Marky Boy says this would destroy the global economy and take the USA down with it. Ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris is the least qualified candidate to ever run for any political office in American history. She makes She makes her boss look competent. She's a fake. I'm not here to invalidate her. She's a fake, a fraud. She's a pretender. Her and her pimp handlers will destroy our country.
I'm just going to wrap it because it degrades from there. Like, on an objective basis, she's not the most unqualified person to ever run for president. That'd be Donald Trump.
Let me correct you. She is, by the standard, she is the least qualified because she is the least white and the least male ever seek the office of president.
Thank you, Mandela, for pointing out the completely obvious misogyny and misogynoir that operates in our country. But but if her name was Frank Smith and she was a white guy, then by credentials, she would actually be the most qualified for the job. Your reactions to just all of what happened at the I don't even know what to call what happened at Madison Square Garden. Like, your reactions coming out of the weekend, because I knew it was going to be bad. I intentionally didn't want to watch it. But when I saw what I saw on Monday morning, I disgusting.
Yeah, it was as bad as what you could have expected. And I, too, did not watch because I just don't care to watch.
Yeah.
And I knew that whatever came as a result of it would pop up on my feed somewhere. And sure enough, no matter how much I've tried to get away from it and stay away from it, it has chased me. That's the thing. But, you know, it's been allowed to get to this point. You know, it is. And what is this point? Because what is that much different than anything else that has been said, has been uttered, or has been the subtext of these Trump rallies? It is all just starting to the plants are starting to flower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not even starting, but
I forget what they call that flower that blooms like once every 10 years, and the corpse flower. Yes, we have a blooming corpse flower right now.
One that smells like shit.
Yes, exactly. Oop, hit the button, y'all.
Sorry,
that's all right. Hit the button.
My bad.
It's that bad. I mean, I agree with you. Now, on the upside, I think this moment has brought a lot of different conservatives out and said, you know, offered an opportunity to be on the right side of history, to say how much this matters, right? To say how much their country matters to them, how character matters. Well, where do you rate this? Because I love asking people about this, because I get everything from like, where the heck were you in 2016 and you don't deserve any credit, to thank you, I'll take it. It might be late, but it's important that you're heard now. And I'm going to ask you when we come back after these brief messages about the Democracy Defense Project. But your reaction, yet another couple of children of notable Republicans, Barbara Bush, GW's daughter. We had the daughter of Gerald Ford this week coming out in support of Harris. Your reaction, should they be applauded or should they be asked, like, where you been?
Well, look, thank you for being here. But again, yes, where have you been? And you know, how much of and it's the same way with a lot of other folks, you know, former conservative commentators who are still very conservative. They just don't like Donald Trump. Right. Like, yeah. I think that people need to be held accountable and for their part in getting us here.
We'll talk more about the Democracy Defense Project and what Mandela Barnes is doing to help make sure that your vote counts every time and to make our democracy stronger. And doing that in conjunction with men and women of good faith from the Republican Party. We'll have all that and so much more when we come back on today's episode of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Give them what they want.